Welcome again, everybody, to this evening's session. As we continue in the chapter 3 of the manual, volume 1 manual, which talks about the Wailing Woman and Hatton Hill. So, we're just going to move straight into our plan for the evening. Remember, we said that we will be discussing this second section first, and then we'll just move in to the last part of the chapter on the practical hints on keeping your home. So we wanted to look at the responsibilities of the Wailing Woman in her home. And I want you guys to go back, because you guys will be carrying the discussion for the first part of the meeting, and to just look and compare it with the Proverbs 31 to see where you fit. And where you need to improve, or you know, the things that the Lord has given to you that you can share with us concerning what we were seeing here in that part of the chapter. So I'm just going to ask Vandali, can you give a brief recap for persons who may not have been here on Tuesday of what we did, and then we'll move into our discussion.
It caught me off guard, Marsha. I was trying to unwind my mind from today's battle.
We recap.
The first part of it, what is your home like as a Wailing Woman? And we talked about the responsibility of a Wailing Woman in her home. And we talk about briefly about Proverbs 31. We read the whole chapter, and we talk about how King Lamuel's mother was advising him about how he should act, and how, what type of wife the Proverbs 31 woman was, his description of what his mother told him how a woman should be, a good wife should be. That's me paraphrasing in a nutshell. And of course, the Proverbs 31 woman should love her husband unconditionally and make his heart good, that he would trust in her. And she was a woman who worked and helped take care of her household. And how she do him good and not evil. How she intercede for her household and her husband. And she built a house by wisdom.
Okay, thank you, my dear. So yes, we talked about the Wailing Woman and her house, and we looked a bit at Proverbs 31. We were asking some questions, you know, just to begin to provoke us to think about our own households and things that, you know, the chapter is saying our home should be like. So we were asking questions like, is your home a peaceable place? Is your home a place where your family can unwind, husband, children can unwind, let down their hair? Do they have to be walking on eggshells? You know, is it a warm place? Is it a place where love is? Is it an altar of prayer? Is it a training ground for your family? Is it a place where forgiveness flows free? So, you know, people don't think that if they make a mistake, they have to like hide and cover and lie. Is it a place where, you know, forgiveness is flowing free? So that even if you make a mistake, you're just, you know, your family is able to forgive you, or you are able to forgive them. Is it a place of fellowship? So we looked at those two questions. And then we looked at the the Proverbs 31 woman, and we were supposed to just go over the responsibilities of a widow woman in her home, and just come back to say where we have points, where we don't have points, where we can improve what we're not even doing at all, and what the Lord really just is talking to us about at this time. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to open the floor for discussion, and just open to see where you guys would have, what you guys have come back with. And I'm also going to put up that part of the chapter so that we could, you know, just have a little reminder, and as you guys speak, especially for those persons who were not here on Tuesday. So I'm going to share my screen. Right? And this is the part of the chapter that we're looking at. So I'm opening for discussion, so that you guys can tell me what the Lord would have spoken to you over the past couple of days, and what you observe in your own homes, you know, things that you are doing well, things you're not doing so well, and then things that you need to improve on. So I'm opening for discussion. So anybody is free to start, unless you guys want me to just call on somebody to start. Okay, so I'll call on somebody. Pamela, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Well,
hello?
Yes, I said yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Anything to share with us or respect?
I with the Lord's help, trying to build my home with wisdom. I'm speaking life-giving words to my children and grandchildren. I pray for them all the time. I try to find new ways to bring in income. Sometimes, well, I don't have a husband, he died, but I have to do things for myself, yes, so I work, but I also rear chickens, and sometimes I sell some. And goats, and sometimes I sell some. So yeah, I'm trying. I have a helper, so yes, I prepare food. I prepare meals for him. My home is open to other believers to come in, not only to women, wailing women, but to other believers and non-believers as well, friends. So I'm trying to be a Proverbs 31 woman. Did you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Okay,
so anybody else willing to share?
I'll share, Marsha. I'm a single mother. I was never married. But for years, I've been through the word of God concerning marriage, and I have placards I wrote on to pray for my husband and my family according to the word. So I've been praying for a husband and for what kind of relationship according to the word I would like my home to be like. I have one son, he is 34 years old now, but we learned how to, our home was always is always a place of prayer. When he was much younger, we do much more time praying together. We don't pray as much together now that he is much older, but when needs arrive, and occasionally we still pray together, we try to sit at dinner table and have meals together and pray together and talk and discuss things as we sit at dinner table. My home is open, but yet still, I guess, closed to some point, because most people will not come to my house unless there is a need. And I said that way because most people, like, I don't know whether, I wouldn't say they're afraid of me, because I'm a sociable person. I'm an out there person. But they know that they can't come to my house and just sit down and gossip and talk and all of that. So when someone show up on my door that God did not tell me was coming, then I know that, okay, this person has a need. Or this person just needed a listening ear. Or this person needed a prayer, so they are coming. I used to open my house to our women department at my church. We used to have what we call a birthday club, where we every quarter celebrate the ladies in our women department birthday. But I had to stop that because I realized that some of the women came and then they wanted to gossip and that and not keep focus on why we were there. So I stopped allowing that because that's the spirit I never wanted in my house. Sometimes I'm very, very, very busy. So the next part of this chapter, sometimes I find myself not doing it as much as I need to. At one point in time, I used to, when I'm too busy, I would pay a maid to come and clean my house. But again, I had to stop doing that. Because I realized some people, you trust in your house and then you look for things and you don't see them anymore. I shared an incident. I had a CD of a personal prophecy that I got. And this particular person used to clean my house. I trusted her. I leave her to my house, go to work and everything. And one day I couldn't find the CD. And after a while, I found the CD at my mother's house in my nephew's room. I said, "Where you get the CD from? How you get this?" Then he told me who he get it from, and that's the lady who was cleaning my house. I said, "Oh, that's why all my child movies and stuff gone missing out of the house and certain things." I said, "Okay, well, then she can't come and clean my house no more." But I'm not afraid to try anything when it comes to work. I used to operate a grocery store and I used to have a rental car company. I do real estate and me and my son has the catering business. So I try everything that I can do to make means for me and my son, because I had a son who was sick for 27 years, from 6 months to 27 years of his life. So it took a toll on finances that you did not plan for. And therefore, you had to find ways of keeping your head over water as you continue to trust God. And so I would say, in a nutshell, I try as humanly possible with the help of the Holy Spirit to keep my house as close to a Proverbs 31 woman house as I possibly can.
Thank you, Brenda Lee. Thank you. Thank you for sharing And I realize, guys, that our households are not, I know I see a lot of here about husband and whatnot, and I didn't realize that for us in the Caribbean, not as an excuse, but it's where we find ourselves, our households are not made up so much of husband, wife, children. So, you know, as the Lord shows you, because he deals with us where we're at, so as we're coming to this one, you know, he's speaking to us where we're at. So thank you so much, Brandy. And I really pray that the Lord blesses you with a husband, if that's your desire. You said you were praying that the Lord blesses you indeed with a husband. And as you continue to shape your home the way that he would want it to shape you. So thank you for sharing that. I too grew up in a single parent household. And for the most part, my mother, she would do what needs to be done. So I know it's only in these latter years, I would say, when my mom got married, that I understood what it was like to live mother, father, and children. But I grew up mostly till about the age of 13, 14. I was in a single parent household. So I know from my mom, as it relates to a Proverbs 31 woman and the things that I would see her do, she would plant a kitchen garden. So she had peas, we had cherries in the backyard, we had a lime tree. You know, at one point we had like seasonings, what you call chives, and those things growing in our yard. And so she would just go and pick and you know, that saved her a bit. Then when we were going to school, my mom would always be prepared. So all of our uniforms on a Sunday evening, hair was done on a Sunday evening. Juice was made and put in the freezer. One bottle, it's two children, 10 bottles of juice, one bottle for each day. You know, those kinds of things. I know my mom would pray, you know, that the Lord would help us, you know, just to get through as well as she possibly could, because it's a lot to handle on your own. And so, you know, she would always pray that, I know, in terms of this point for augmenting the family's income, there was no husband, but my mom would throw things like what we call susu, where everybody, you gather some people, everybody puts in a certain amount of money. And then at the end of each month, one person gets that money. And, you know, you're able just to save in that way. Although you would say, why can't I save my money, you know, over the same period of time? Sometimes you don't really save it. Sometimes you actually spend it because things come up. And you spend it. So they would gather together, they would throw susu, you know, and these kinds of things just to not what we call make ends meet, and to make sure that my sister and I were provided for. She was never an idle woman, you know. There's no time. I mean, even on vacation, I used to be like when I was in university, and she would be on vacation. And when I was in university and you see vacation come time came, shame on me, I would get up probably 12, midday, 1, you know, in the afternoon. My mom would be on vacation and still be up at 5 o'clock. I am telling you. I am like, mommy, it is vacation. And then when you see a certain thing, she's knocking on your door. Come in. I'm like, it's vacation. So, you know, she was never an idle woman. At least when I knew her, she was never an idle woman. So she would always say, we never really bought fast foods when I was growing up. And so she would cook every day. And sometimes even when I was going to school, we might have what we call a flask, and she would put the food in there, and you had food for lunch. Not really like a sandwich or anything, but it will be food for lunch. When you get home, you'll have a sandwich, you know, you'll have some tea, you'll have some juice, whatever. And then that would be dinner, but we had food for lunch. So she would be up early in the morning and she cooked, she washed, you know, all of these things. Eventually she taught us how to wash, but she washed and she still provided. Oh no, she still provides for her family. I have an uncle who lives with us. And if nobody else in this house eats, she made sure that he eats, you know, and just stuff like that. She would always just provide and make sure that we were eating proper meals and having clean clothing. And, you know, she always provided. So in that regard, even though there was not a husband to speak of, you know, in those periods, she always made sure that things were in order and they were kept in order and that we were provided for. So I've learned a lot from her in that regard. So for me, I'm not running my own household yet. Still living with my mother. She's still cooking. And so although I would cook too, don't get me wrong. But she still, you know, she still provides. And so she's not an idle woman. And so I can only hope that when I come into my, even as I'm learning now and walking alongside, still, you know, that when I come into my own home, that those are the things I would learn to do. I would do, I would plant a kitchen garden, knowing that, you know, these little things help the house as long as you don't have to go out and buy it. Because obviously, because people have put in the work and they buy it, they charge you for it. When you put in the work yourself, you just come out, you pick it, you come back to your own kitchen and you say, well, this is my lettuce, this is my kale, this is my chive that came out of my garden. So, you know, those kinds of things, and it supplements the household, it augments the household. It may not be money, but you're saving the household money. So, you know, when it says she seats wool on flats and works willingly with her hands, what can you do? And more, one time I used to be baking bread. You know, and that supplemented income in the home. I would bake it on Thursday nights, and every Friday morning I had bread orders. So, you know, those kinds of things. So, anybody else willing to share?
I will share.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm a single parent, but I know I worked hard. Very hard, very, very hard. And I school my children. I have two kids. One is off to go, about to go to college now. But my thing right now is I've worked extremely hard and I'm really very independent. I was able to achieve a lot from working hard. My concern now is because I'm so used to doing for myself and by myself and with all my achievements, if I was to get married at this point, I think it would be extremely hard for me to, you know, how should I put it? I wouldn't say it to be submissive, but because I'm so used to doing everything for myself at this point, I always figure, Lord, you know, I always pray, God, if I was to get married at this point in my life, how, because I'm so used to doing everything for myself. I brought my children up by myself, saw them that they became successful. And I know I'm not a young, I am almost 60 years old, but I, you know, I'm thinking if I was to get married at this point, how would that work for me? Me being doing everything for myself for all these years, you know, and my home is really peaceful. I've always given my children know God. He's always been with me. I've always depended on God for guidance, and trust me when I tell you, when I get in my closet, it's almost like literally that he guides me and talks to me. Like, so even though I have never been married, I depend solely on God for guidance. And because I think that I am so obedient, that I've been so successful because I don't approach anything unless I seek God. If I'm getting a promotion, if I want to move somewhere, if I always seek God first. And so I'm praying now and about God, you were to send me a husband now, because I'm so used to doing these things on my own. How am I going to do this? You know? So for me, it's how do you get to be submissive after doing everything for yourself for so long? And so, you know, it's I think that's my fear of getting married, my biggest fear, because I don't know if I you know, how it would go. I just don't know. I think that's my biggest fear of getting married right there.
So, Kenya, what I would say to that is that you've been practicing how to be submissive with God.
Yeah, I have.
And so, you know, like I said, I've not been married long, and but there are a couple of things, you know, just small things that I've learned, and I don't know if anyone else here has been longer married longer, that can kind of either corroborate or even bring more, shed more light. So this is what I'll say: the same way you have, you said you seek God for everything. And so I don't think that you would get married and not seek God. And I'm sure if you, when you come to that point and God says, yes, this is the one, you would know then, okay, everything, first of all, you know, everything is going to be okay because this is who the Lord has said, right? Or this is the one that the Lord has told me this is okay. I can go ahead with this. That's what you've been practicing for every other thing. And before I was married, I would always say, I don't trust my own heart with, you know, I don't trust myself with matters of the heart. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you could be very much entangled. And right. So, you know, right up until the morning, you know, I'll share this story. Until the morning, I was about to get married. I got married in Nigeria. We wanted to get married here in Barbados, but situations didn't, you know, with him actually coming and getting the visa, you know, it didn't quite work out. So I went there to get married. And, you know, obviously I'm there and with his family. My family wasn't with me, but they have my blessing. I had their blessing, you know, but I'm there and I'm like, oh God, in the very morning, I'm getting ready. We're doing my makeup. And I'm like, Lord, if this is not you, it's not too late. It's not too late to say no. It's not too late, you know, to back out and to say I'm not ready. And I was so serious. And you know what the Lord did for me? He just showed me it was okay to go ahead. Before we went in, we prayed, so his family prayed with us. And there was a scripture that the Lord kept bringing to my mind. Every time I thought about this marriage, there was this one scripture. It's Ecclesiastes 3:11. The Lord makes everything beautiful in its time. And I mean, no matter where I turn, that's the scripture that the Lord would show me concerning marriage, because I was very worried. You know, that I was getting too entangled because I had been engaged before. Yes, I love this guy, but he didn't do well. He wasn't the one that the Lord wanted for me. And even when the Lord was trying to shift us apart, you know, you were there just hoping, hanging on, holding on. And the Lord just totally severed the relationship. And so, you know, I knew from that point I could really not trust myself in these kinds of matters. But the Lord helped me. He gave me this particular scripture. And everywhere I turned concerning this guy, because I was ready to run and hightail very, you know, at every turn. Ask people who were close to me that I was like kind of sharing with in that season. They would tell you that I was just ready to run and go at any time, because I just did not want to marry the wrong person. And so he gave me a scripture. And in the morning before they prayed, I had never shared it with, the only people who knew were the people that were really, really close to me. So I hadn't even shared it with my husband. And I hadn't shared it with his family. So his father, as he was praying, he said, Lord, thank you for, you know, bringing us to this moment. Lord, you make everything beautiful in its time. Those were his words. I will never forget that. And I just smiled and I said, Lord, thank you. Because if I was so serious, if it wasn't the Lord, I was just ready to pack up and say, you know what, guys? I'm so sorry that we all gathered here, but I am not, I can't tell you that the Lord said yes, you know, for sure. Even though he did, I heard him. You know, there was just that you wanted to be so sure. And so with that, I will just say to you, you know, you've already been practicing submission to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the Lord says, you know, as you practice that by putting everything before him, you know, mm-hmm. You will get married and not put that before him.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So as he says yes.
Go ahead. I wanted to share something with Kenya when you finish.
Okay, no problem. I just think as the Lord says yes, immediately that will be your submission. Because yes, you submit to your husband, but there's a submission to the Lord, especially if you're taking marriage with this kind of process where you're asking the Lord, who should I marry? Lord, is this the one? Lord, I don't want to marry anyone you don't want to marry. If you're going to him with that kind of heart, you know, I don't think that he would want to allow you to get married to someone that wouldn't walk through the process. Because, right. You know, I understand what you mean. Like, you've been by yourself for this long. You've done things your way. You've done things, you know, to the best of your ability, the way you know how. And do I now want a man to come and tell me? Do I know what a man to come and, you know, very practical things. Tell me how we should spend the money that I am making. You understand? How do I incorporate someone now into this thing that I have been doing by myself all this while? So I understand exactly where you're coming from. But you know, I think that the Lord is so kind, mm-hmm. and that he would just allow, he would just bring someone that you can walk through the process with, even mm-hmm. though it may be bumpy at some roads, because you have to learn now how to just bow to that person. And when they say bow, I don't mean that you're a maid or a servant, but to allow them and as they allow you. And that person has to learn how to submit to you as well. You know, so it is a two-way street. But I do believe because your process is always God first, that I think, you know, and I think, I know that the Lord would not allow you to get, you know, get to somebody that's not going to, like, just be patient as you guys learn each other and walk through that process, because I know that you've been doing it by yourself. So that's what I feel. So go ahead. Was it Brenda? Go ahead, Brenda Lee.
No, Kenya, I smiled when you said that, because that was me. And I guess, I know who my husband is. We've been friends now for 25 years. And when the Lord brought him to me, I said, Lord, I'm not looking for nobody. I said, I enjoy my relationship with you, and I'm an independent person. And it was hard. But because I, like Marsha said, because you're submitted to the Lord and you love him, you would do what he say. I accept the person. And I said, Lord, if this is you, XYZ is going to happen, right? But this is my covenant with you. And long story short, the Lord made, we're good friends. I know this is the season now for us to get married, but the Lord walked me through that submission with him as a friend. He would say, when I was going to build my house, did you talk to him? I said, that's my house, but I have to talk to him for that, for him, my husband. He said, oh, yes, he has a condo. What I say, he said, but and you accept him, even though y'all are not to that point yet. And dear God just used to have me talking to him about the little small, whether it's the smallest little decision I want to make or the biggest decision I need to make. Anything happen within my family, like dad, wedding, anything, the Lord, you say, you talk to him about it, you tell him about it. And I was like, Lord, why have to tell this man all this? So I understand where you're at, but God will mold you into it. Now we are so comfortable with one another as friends that it's not a struggle. We just, when we start talking about things, what's on our hearts, and it's like, as friends, we see that basically we even have the same passion for ministry. So it's like everything, because we became so close as friend first, because God was using that to mold me into that place. Because trust me, your dying happened with Brenda Lee, unless the Lord made it happen. And he made it happen for me. He molded me into that place of a submission as a wife. He was look at me and say, who know the both of us? And they say, girl, you something else. I wouldn't do that. I don't do that for my old husband. And I say, well, that's your business, right? But don't go in no detail as to why I treat a friend like that. But that's the way, because of where God had led me to. Break that mold off of me. God will mold you and shape all the yes first to bring in that friend relationship before you get married. So it was a ride for me, because trust me, I like you, independent. I make my own money, and if I fall short while my daddy was alive, then it's my daddy. I don't need you, man, for your money. I don't need you for nothing. And you ain't coming into my life to dictate me either. Then you ain't coming in my life to play games with Brenda Lee gone. But God will mold you into it, because he loves you. And if he's desiring to give you a mate because of ministry or whatever reason, he'll mold you into it. So just relax into him once he bring you to that place.
Thank you. Michelle, I wanted to share.
Sure, go ahead.
On this section. So, well, I am single. I don't have any children, never been married. So I live alone. And very, very alone. I've been single for a very long time too. So for me, when I look at number two, that says work hard and be a crown to your husband and your home. Although I'm single, one of the things I keep saying, there are things I keep saying from time to time with my mouth, and I keep saying that man that God is going to send, he's going to be a blessed man, because of the pruning that I am going through right now and over the last couple of years, and the things that God has been teaching me and molding me into, you know. So he's going to be a blessed man, because I'm not going to steal his money. I'm not one of those people, right? Intercede for your husband. Yes, that I do that from time to time. When I feel prompted, I would pray for him. And, you know, I talk to God about the qualities that I like and all of that. In terms of augmenting the family's income, so I am, at the moment I'm unemployed, but I'm an entrepreneur. And lots of business ideas, but in the midst of planning out. I'm a planner. So I'm doing a lot of vision casting, planning, that kind of thing. Speak life giving words. Well, this is something I have practiced with males that come into my sphere or into my, if God allows them to come anywhere near me, because I say that because God doesn't often allow them to come very near me at all. So if he allows any guys to come near me, it means that there's some kind of encouragement I need to give them, or I need to be a listening ear. And that has happened over the years. So what I practice is to speak life to them rather than tear them down, because we women, we have a tendency with our mouth to tear down. So when they come into my presence, they will leave different. They will leave with a life-giving word or exhortation or something to help them, with whatever dreams that they have. I will help to pull that out of them. So I practiced this with, I had a very close friend for years, and I would constantly practice that with him. You know, always encouraging. We were always talking about God. We were always talking about our relationship with God, what God's shown us, and that kind of thing. And I have another person that I'm close to. It's always about God. It's always encouraging. So that's something I practice. Of course, if you come into my presence and you start to speak any foolishness, one time I cut you down. The next one was, so for sure, I could tell you, I'm just like Kenya and Brenda Lee. I am very independent, extremely. And I am an avid DIYer. So anything I don't know how to do, I go and research. I YouTube, I call a friend and ask a question. I try to do things because I live by myself. So for example, when I have to get my gas and stuff, when my gas is finished, obviously, y'all know I have to go and get it myself, even though it's very heavy, but somehow the Lord, always provides somebody to kind of lift it up the step. But there have been times that I have no one to help me. So I just have to lift it up, just take my time and lift it up the step myself. Plumbing, there was a time I remember my sink was full, it was clogging, and I just called a friend to ask, what do I need to do? And they told me I got a wrench, I unscrewed the thing and got my sink unplugged. So I am very much a DIYer. I would find out how to do things for myself. If I need help, yes, I will ask when necessary, but other than that, I think I'm very, thank the good Lord, I'm very resourceful. So that's why I keep saying, that man is going to be a blessed man, because I'm very resourceful. In terms of taking stock of all the resources you have and managing everything, for me, money is one of the things that I have been, and the Lord has been helping me to deal with that particular area. Over the last couple of years, I've had a lot of financial trials and tribulations. But through it, the Lord has taught me a lot about, I've had to depend on the Lord a lot for provision, because I don't have any family in Trinidad, because I'm not from Trinidad originally. So I'm literally here by faith by myself, but God is with me, and he has provided in so many ways, but he's also teaching me to how to deal with money. And so one of the things I do is I meal plan on a weekly basis. I meal plan. And when I do that, that gives me an idea of what I need to buy in the supermarket, the grocery, and I write an exact list. And that helps me to be very focused. When I get into the supermarket, I don't look left, I don't look right, I look down at my phone, and I buy exactly what is on the list, because I know what I'm going to cook. And I am not one of those everyday cookers. I am a cook once a week and I have it for the rest of the week. That works for me. I'm not a cook everyday person at all. So yeah, the Lord has really been teaching me about managing money. And especially now I've recently been doing a course, a biblical financial course with another fellow Wailing Woman. And it's been very, very enlightening. And even some of the things the Lord already prompted me to start. So I guess, I don't know, that's where I am at. What I need to work on, I think, is the things that are coming after this section, which is keeping my house in a particular order, because it's not in order. And because of that, I don't have a lot of people over, really. And plus, they live very far away from me. So that's my two cents.
Thank you, Chanel. What I'll say to you about this one is, it's good that you're learning these things now, because obviously, you know, life isn't, whether you're married or you're not married, life isn't always a bed of roses. So, you know, you learn, Paul says, I know how to be a base and I know how to, you know, abound. So it's like, when things are really good, it's all good. But when they're not so good, it's still all good, because I know how to be a base and I know how to abound. And so, you know, like, the Lord teaches us different things in different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, with your DIY, I like to do it myself, you know, and, you know, if I could do it myself, why pay to have it done? That's how I think yeah. about it. And so, you know, it's good that you're learning these things now, because it's not just for now, they add to a home and they add to a household. You know, when it says at the end of Proverbs 31, then, you know, they call your husband blessed in the gates. Why? Because of the wife that he has, the one that knows how to do things herself, the one that, you know, is able to meal plan. Meal planning is not easier. Meal planning is not easy, because a lot of people go into the market and they go, well, I always tell my mom, she will say, I want to get eggs. And then sometimes we come home, we still didn't get the eggs. But you spent a lot of money. So, you know, being focused in that way, you know, is a good thing, especially when there is a basement in the family, you know, when you have to keep your head down and just get the essentials, things that will carry the family through. Mm-hmm. So it's good training. It's good, you know, to be able to meal plan. It's good that you pray for your husband. The Lord will show you definitely who that person is. You said that he doesn't allow many meals to come into his room. When he does, you know, the same way he shows you that, okay, it's for this particular purpose, I need to speak life in this particular area of this young man's life. Mm-hmm. He will show you when that person is to you. And I believe that with all my heart. So mm-hmm. it's good that, you know, we're learning these things as we go along. Because the Lord really, you know, as much as he's interested in us praying for the church and the nations and getting that done, you can do these things effectively when there are areas of your life that are not in alignment with what he wants for you. So, mm-hmm. you know, as much as you may be doing it, so I'll share, and I guess this has nothing to do with the home per se, but just for this point I'm making now, as when I was younger, I was really, really, I didn't even say one, really, really good. I found it so much easier to pray corporately than I found it to pray by myself. And so, you know, it was easier for me to pray, say, anyone here came to me with a problem. You know, my mom is not well. I'm praying for this particular thing that God would bring. I could pray anybody through. But when it came to me, you know, and things were happening to me, I couldn't pray. And so that's when the Lord began to deal with that, you know, in my life. Because how can you be praying for the church and the nations and there's an immediate issue in your home, in your face, and you can't deal with that immediate issue, or you can't put that immediate issue in prayer? And so that's why God is interested in the down-to-down details, because they are as important as praying for the church and the nations. You know, it's not that you pray for the church and the nations and the Lord, you know, is just happy with that. He's just seeing that outside. And then when on the inside is a mess. You know, he's seeing, you know, you come up pretty to church, nails done, hair done, face done, whatever. You speak all the right things. I call it Christianese. Oh, the Lord is giving you play all the time. And yes, sister, and yes, brother. And yet at home, you know, every